Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jan Jaffe, and I'm delighted to be your host today on the Life Coach Radio Network, which is part of Blog Talk Radio. I'm especially excited today to be working again with two of my favorite co-hosts on this topic of utmost importance, which affects so many of us in multiple ways. As I mentioned, my name is Jan Jaffe, and I'm a graduate of Northwestern University, from which I hold both my bachelor's and master's degrees. I'm also proud to be an IPEC certified professional coach, Energy Leadership Index master practitioner, and core well-being dynamics specialist. I had a successful international career as a concert and opera singer and voice and masterclass teacher, which was cut short by traumatic brain injury. The TBIs, as they're called, drastically altered my life. I lost language for 6 weeks and was thrilled after 4 months when I was finally able to walk with the aid of a walker. My recovery took many, many years and was extremely difficult. But as a result, I've come to discover many things about myself and life, namely what it is to lose oneself, definition, career, and purpose in life and feel totally lost, that there is great strength in vulnerability, that there can be great opportunity and challenge, strengths I had never known I had, the true meaning of resiliency, and that I'm very good at picking myself up, dusting myself off, and hurling myself forward. With Forward to Success, I am dedicated to helping professional women achieve optimal success, realization of their potential, and passion, purpose, life balance, and well-being in every aspect of their lives. You can contact me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. What defines a life? There are many ingredients to a life recipe, with each person's life journey and recipe being unique. The ingredients can include, but are not limited to, relationships, career, experiences, marriage, children, travel, and last but certainly not least, disaster and or tragedy. Disasters and tragedies tend to remind us of the fragility of life and can also help us get back in touch with what is truly important to us and understand what our values are. It can help us find our own strengths by putting us in touch with our own vulnerability. Of course, how someone defines personal tragedy is subjective, but a cancer diagnosis is generally viewed as a life-altering moment. We can no longer view our own good health in the same way and find ourselves immediately in touch with our own or a loved one's mortality. Today, I am delighted to once again be joined by my two brilliant colleagues, Gina Costa and Kathy Aquino, who are both not only expert coaches, but also highly versed in the world of cancer as caregiver and survivor. In today's show, we are discussing steps and strategies to manage and navigate the journey from diagnosis through treatment and beyond recovery to maintenance. Our show today is entitled Part 3 of How to Thrive When Faced with a Cancer Diagnosis. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce my co-host. Gina, please tell our listening audience a little about yourself.
Sure. Thank you, Jan, so much for the introduction and so much of what you said, just resonated with me. I'm so happy to be here today. So my name is Gina Costa. I am the owner of New Beginnings Coaching Services, LLC. I am a former caregiver and a breast cancer survivor. And in my business, what I do is I work with survivors and caregivers, and I help them cope step by step with the emotional and physical challenges they experience so that they can regain confidence and control of their lives once again. My website is www.newbeginningswithgina.com, and there's links to all of my Facebook and Twitter accounts there. You can reach me at 917-882-2402. And Jan, I just want to touch on a couple of things that you said in connection with, you know, cancer diagnosis or treatment. What I, you know, there's so much that goes on, you know, not only within the cancer experience and all the emotions and everything that you have to go through, but where I like to, you know, or most of my clients like to get to a place where they feel like, you know, yes, this isn't an experience that you wanted to happen or come into your life, but it can really be a time to recreate your life. And as you said, you know, basically to truly find out what's important to you, what your values are. I love what you said about vulnerability, exposing our vulnerability, because when we do that and we get into that, we you know, can sometimes access our greatest strengths. And it's really, you know, just about knowing, not even with a cancer diagnosis, but just with life in general, you know, that just accepting that change is constant in our lives and we can, you know, manage that change. So whatever is coming into your life, know that you can manage it, you know, and get through the other side. And that's basically what I do in working with my clients. So I'm very happy to be here with you guys today. Hello?
Hi, Gina. I can hear you. This is Kathy.
Hey. Did we lose Jan?
I'm wondering. So I think she would be going to be next. So in the meantime, if she's trying to get back on, I guess I'll just introduce myself and we can go from there. And Jan can let us know when she can, you know, be heard again.
Definitely.
I am Kathy Aquino, and I am very happy to be here with you, Gina, and presumably Jan when she gets back on, and our listeners. It's great to be with you guys today. I'm the owner of the coaching and consulting practice Courage to Lead, LLC. I have two areas of specialty that both require leadership. I help people who are looking to maintain their health or combating a health challenge or working with a loved one who is. Patient advocacy for yourself or someone else is about assuming a degree of leadership, and many people have difficulty doing that with their own health or in the face of the medical power structure. I have wide familiarity and use of alternative medicine and am familiar with the benefits and drawbacks of Western medicine. I offer coaching or consulting based on the client's needs. I coach small business owners who are not profitable or they feel overwhelmed. Through coaching, they learn what unintentional messages they may be conveying and how it causes them to attract a certain type of client or create unnecessary challenges. I help them review their communication and business setup and see where they may be able to make changes that reflect what they really want so they can make themselves and their clients happy and satisfied. I have a master's degree in education, 20 years teaching health and advocacy, and certification through the highly respected Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. I work not only as a paid advocate, but also with family members, including my husband as he battles cancer, specifically multiple myeloma. I love working with people that want to make changes and helping them regain a sense of control in their health or their business. All my contact information can be found at my website entitled Courage to Lead. The address is www.courtolead.com. Thanks very much. And Jan, are you there with us yet?
Yes. yes, I am. There's wonderful technical glitches that always make these shows even more exciting. Somehow I got dropped. I got dropped by Blog Talk Radio, but I'm back in. Fortunately,
well, we carried on without you for a few moments.
Thank you so much.
We coached Jan. We coached ourselves around it, so we're good.
Oh my goodness! So at this point, I would like to invite our listeners to call in with any questions or comments, or if you'd like to call Blog Talk Radio and talk to them about our glitches. anyway, we welcome your calls, and we really do. We really welcome your calls and contribution of any type to this discussion. The number here is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And please do call in. We would love to hear from you. Okay, so on our previous shows, we engaged in conversations around the feelings both caretakers and survivors experience during the pre-diagnosis phase and diagnosis itself. We also discussed how caretakers can best serve the cancer patient and mental and emotional challenges. So today's show is a continuation of the conversation around the emotional impact of a cancer diagnosis. And it's said that cancer changes you forever, the you in this statement applying to both cancer patient and caretaker. Depending upon the connection to family, extended family, friends, community, the long-range effect of a diagnosis can be staggering. And as coaches, we know that health comprises more than just physical well-being. Good health requires health in body, mind, and spirit. And emotional health can take a beating with illness and a cancer diagnosis. So with this in mind, Gina, what are some ways of dealing with the mental and emotional challenges of a cancer diagnosis and the ensuing treatment? And while you're thinking about that, Gina, I'd just like to remind our listeners again that the call-in number is 646-716-9397. Gina.
Jan and Kathy, so one thing that's kind of jumping out at me, just working with a client, you know, obviously so many emotions come up when we're either just being diagnosed or we're in treatment, you know, so many things like anger, anxiety, overwhelm, things like that. And I think, you know, and that's completely normal, but I think we have to really experience those emotions, but also sort of keep them in check. In other words, for example, anger. So just because, or if you're experiencing anger, obviously you can have anger for many reasons. You know, you didn't ask for this disease, your life has changed, your world feels like it's being turned upside down. That doesn't necessarily give us a license to, you know, take our anger out on other people just because we have this diagnosis. And, you know, it does tend to be misguided, but I think the key there is just to be aware around that and, you know, just to be, kind of careful with your emotions and kind of see where they're coming from. And again, just to be with them. Again, they're all perfectly, you know, valid and normal, but I also think we have to, you know, it's difficult, but I think we have to kind of have some awareness around them. The other, you know, thing that comes up for me and probably centers around anxiety is, you know, so again, we're dealt this hand, we're given this diagnosis, we're in this treatment. I think what we have to do, and again, not such an easy thing to do for many people, including myself, but to kind of say, you know, kind of slow the thought process down and say, okay, so this is real, you know, this is really happening to me, but what do I need to do to get through this? You know, I can't be superwoman anymore, so you know, the key points that I share with my clients are, one, you know, self-care. So what you have to do is you kind of have to stop everything and put yourself first, which we should really do in life anyway. But to really put yourself first and know that you need to step back in life right now, because in order to get healthy or healthier or get through your treatment, you know, more optimally, you really need to take care of yourself. And some of the ways that you can do that are, you know, getting support from other people, you know, so that basically allowing other people to come in you know, and to help you and to receive that help, be willing to receive that help so that you can, you know, take the time to step back and to heal. And I think for, you know, some cancer patients, that's not easy. And, you know, sometimes we just want to get out of the hospital or, you know, get through treatment and get to the end. And, you know, sometimes when we do that and we have the fear and anxiety and, you know, those thoughts around getting to the finish line, it can release, you know, a lot of unhealthy chemicals into our body. So it's, even though we don't want to stay there kind of in that present moment, we just have to kind of take it step by step. And take it at a slow process, exercise self-care so that we can get to the next step. Again, not so easy to do, but again, because I've been through it, you know, based on caretaker and a survivor level, something that really could be a benefit to your recovery. And, you know, what was good for me is not good for somebody else. So when you're working with clients, obviously what's going to serve them best to, you know, help them get through their diagnosis and manage their emotions.
Oh, no. I'm here. I'm still here, Gina. Oh, my goodness.
Kathy, why don't you come in with your thoughts around that? Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, I'm coming at this from a slightly different perspective because you were both caretaker and survivor. I've just been a caretaker at this point. But the interesting thing about my caretaking is my husband's diagnosis is pretty grave. It's considered a fatal disease, so that itself brings a whole different kind of realm of things to the diagnosis and what you're going through. But I thought what really resonated with me was your taking care of yourself because, you know, our culture is so driven on speed and getting things done and accomplished, and that's how we, you know, men particularly base their self-esteem on that. Women, we feel like we have, you know, by and large, this is a little bit sexist, but that's how it is for many men. And many women have so many roles that they play that they have a hard time figuring out how their household's going to continue on without them, you know, being the linchpin and everything. So, but it can. So I think what you said there, taking care of yourself is so important. What else resonated with me is the staying in the moment. Hello, Jan, are you there?
I'm back.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio apparently doesn't want me here today.
it probably doesn't.
We're on and moving because Kathy has some great responses, and I actually have some questions for you when you're finished, Kathy.
Oh, okay,
right.
Sure. So let me see. Where was I? I kind of thought I missed where I was now, but staying
in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is something that I was a good lesson for me, as you brought up the idea of anxiety, and it just all reminded me of staying in the moment. That's so important in a diagnosis like this because I think that what can happen to people is, particularly with cancer, because it can be so serious, but even if you had a relatively less serious diagnosis of cancer, people's minds and that anxiety can just run away with them, and they can imagine and spend so much time in the future in every possible scenario they could imagine or they've heard about from somebody, and that's just so detrimental to your mental health and your physical health because that's going to reflect there. So I think staying in the moment is very important, and, you know, let's not kid ourselves. For some people in parts of their cancer diagnosis, the moment is pretty crappy. And, you know, you know, and then when you're feeling really poorly and you're having a rough time of it, your mind can get even worse and think, well, if it's this bad now, where could it, you know, go, et cetera. And, but just staying in the moment and kind of bathing yourself, taking care of yourself, what you need physically, mentally, spiritually. And as Gina had said, it's so important to reach out to others because so many other people that love you are affected by this diagnosis and they want to help in any way they can.
Yeah, so Kathy, I had great, you know, responses on that, and I actually had a question, and you actually brought up something very good. So
Okay. So the point,
I want to ask you a question, but first I want to get to something that you brought up that was very important. So, because we're in this kind of mix of emotions and feeling overwhelmed, so a lot of times we want to be in the future. Say, for example, we're in the middle of surgery and whatever, we're either healing or experiencing complications. You know, we're already, you raised a good point, because we're already thinking like, oh my God, okay, I still have to do chemo, I need radiation, I have to do this, I have to do that. So, you know, bringing yourself back to the moment is so important. But here's my question to you. So my diagnosis, you know, when I was diagnosed, I was fortunately diagnosed in an early stage, and I do work with clients who are in various stages, you know, some, you know, lower stage 1 and 2, and some, you know, more terminal stages. But what I wanted to ask you, so what have you kind of used, or what has come in for you as a coping mechanism, you know, knowing that, you know, your husband's prognosis isn't as better than some others, or, you know, just realizing how real that prognosis is. What do you use really to cope around that, other than being present in the moment?
Yeah, good question. It's like anything else, like maybe a death we've all heard of with stages. I think you do go through stages, and different people go through those stages at different rates. I happen to process pretty quickly, which I'm glad for, as I've seen my other very close relatives that process very slowly, and it just drags some of those really difficult moments out longer. But so in the beginning, when we first learned, like anybody would be, you're in shock. And then if it is a, you know, bad, really, really bad diagnosis, like we actually had it as bad as it could get diagnosis at the moment when he was diagnosed, and it came as utter shock. He had just been feeling very poorly, and I just finally had it, and I said, we're going to get you something done and go to the doctor, and we went to the doctor, and we were immediately sent to the hospital. We were immediately told he was in kidney failure. I mean, it was one thing after another, and it was just very, very shocking. And so shock was the first thing, and then to be told not only you have cancer, but then each test that came back was more grave. He had the worst you could have. He had every high aggressive risk factor you could have, which all meant just, you know, less potential time, more, you know, it was just not very good. And so that was really a lot to swallow, and it was really hard in the moment. What eventually came as I began to process some things, first of all, reaching out to other people and talking. We're parents, so our first, you know, we immediately didn't think of just of ourselves, but we immediately thought of our children, our parents, and we had to reach out to them and tell them. And that was very, very difficult to share that news. So that was hard. And then, but once we got through that and we had our immediate core people that were surrounding us, and they were going through the same emotions, but some time went on. I was able to go on to some websites, get some research, look at some things, ask some questions, and kind of regather myself, because, you know, things become kind of the new normal eventually. And so I was able to, you know, I think it was important to have hope, because when we first got the diagnosis and felt like there was no hope, that was a very bad place to be in. And even if it's a slim hope, that's better than nothing. And so we were able to get a diagnosis, or, you know, some doctors that started talking about stem cell transplant. And it didn't necessarily mean, you know, cure, but it was at least the life extension, and that was something. And so, you know, it began to adjust to those thought processes, and maybe a life extension, and that was good. And even if it was going to be rough to get there, or even if the shot was really limited and we had a small chance of getting there, it was something. It was better than zero. So I'd say hope was really important, reaching out for some help. We really cling to that hope, and I also use, as I said in my introduction, I use alternative care, because I firmly believe our Western medicine is great for trauma, and we have gifted surgeons and all kinds of things that aren't available around the world that can do amazing things medically for us. But to really regain and have health, I think you have to go outside our system to people that really study what does it mean to be well, not how to cut out cancers or how to do this or that, but, you know, wellness in and of itself. And so I use that also, and I think that's really been very, very important in our journey, because that's been keeping him well while the treatments are having a chance to be effective. And so that has also been very uplifting to see that he is not experiencing, you know, because we all know people that have battled cancer, and sometimes people have a really rough time of it. And at this point, my husband is fortunately done quite well, and that's been a great blessing too. So, but I do, I stay in the moment, because I could really run away with myself, and I'm well aware of what coming up, because I'm a researcher, and but I don't go there. I just mentally, I discipline myself, and I cut myself off when I see it's coming, and I won't go there. So that's what I do, Gina.
And I think, yeah, Kathy, hope, you know, that's such an important, you know, it can be such a word that, you know, is inconsequential, but yet it can be such a word that has huge impact depending on, you know, which way you use it. And, you know, hope is a great word because, you know, we do never know. We don't know what's going to happen. And you could easily listen to a doctor, you know, who's not maybe necessarily wrong. He's looking at everything medically and he's giving you a prognosis, but, you know, who knows? Everybody's different. Everybody's journey can go in a different direction. So why not choose hope and live in the moment? And, you know, who knows? Who knows what can
Absolutely,
happen?
Gina. Absolutely. And, you know, we have all heard stories of people that have been given a, you know, a death sentence and said, you know, get your affairs in order. You have X amount of time to live, and people then live 2, 3, 4 times longer, or you know, are not even passed away when they've heard that long in their past. So, yeah, hope is crucial, and until you get to the stage where you yourself know that, you know, this is my time, because we are all mortal, and we all have to face the fact that we're going to go at some point or another. And until you are so sick and so wound down that, you know, this is my time, that would probably become a different mental shift to adjust yourself to that, and you know, that would be a different thing. But absolutely, I would cling on to hope, because you just absolutely don't know, and keep looking for somebody that can help you with that.
Yeah, and I think, Kathy, actually that's something that I've kind of viewed from a different lens now, like 14 years after my mother's gone, because she wasn't necessarily the most positive person. But I think when she, while she was in her diagnosis and in treatment, you know, she would always, if someone passed away, she would always wish that she would have gone. You know, she came from a place of compassion, but yet she would have rather seen herself gone than someone else gone. And to me, that's kind of, you know, giving up already and shutting the door. And then I've experienced so many other people who have had so much hope. It's really just opened up a whole nother window to me, you know, just in terms of perspective and where you want to live each day and how you want to move forward. And who knows?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
yeah,
if
Jan,
I may,
Jan, would you like
to? Yeah. Yeah, I hear, you know, I hear several things that you say that I think are really, really important in, you know, in just, and for our listeners to hear too, is that, and knowing you and knowing your story and the way that you deal with things, you stay in absolute presence in the moment, as you stated, which is very important, so that, you know, because living in the future, when you start looking at what might happen, causes huge anxiety. And just staying in the past keeps you from where we are now and keeps you out of awareness, which is the second ingredient. You do not live at all in denial. You are totally aware of everything, and which helps you with staying in the moment and doing your research and doing everything you can, which brings us into the third ingredient, which is action. So by staying present in the moment and having full awareness, practicing total awareness, you are able to then take action and do everything that you can, which also helps with any anxiety, because you know that you're doing everything you possibly can. And also referring to when you were referring to people, you and Gina, were referring to how some people live many years further than what was the prognosis given. A great example of that with a different disorder, but with that, Stephen Hawking with ALS. Mm-hmm. Nobody lives, he's in his 70s? Or is he older than that? And nobody lives that long. And he had support, he had all this awareness, he's brilliant. And not to say that someone who's brilliant is, that's the reason, but it's the hope, it's the mental attitude and all of those things and the support, mm-hmm. all of those things help with our, you know, going forward and not only surviving but thriving. So
it can hurt, right, Jan?
No, right. It couldn't hurt. You know what? I'm going to, just since we're about halfway through our show already, believe it or not, I'm going to take this opportunity to do our commercial. We have a wonderful sponsor here at Blog Talk Radio. It's audible.com, and we are proud to have audible.com as our sponsor on Life Coach Radio Networks. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products, which include more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. Receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And I'd like to just mention a couple or a few books from Audible that link in with our topic today. The first one is 5 Lessons I Didn't Learn from Breast Cancer and One Big One I Did by Shelley Lewis. The second one is Mindfulness-Based Cognitive Therapy for Cancer by Trish Barley and John Teasdale. And the third one is When Cancer Strikes a Friend, What to Say, What to Do, and How to Help by Bonnie E. Drager. So please do check out audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio to get your free 30-day trial. And now back to our show. So, Gina, I'm wondering if you have anything else you would like to add on this topic about mental and emotional challenges.
Yeah, the other thing that just kind of comes to mind is, you know, not to feel like you have to put a mask on for others, you know, but again, I guess this goes to vulnerability, but, you know, you are experiencing what you're experiencing. And when I say not to put a mask on, I don't mean, you know, you have to give the whole store away, but I don't think you need to you know, make or let others think that everything's okay when it's not okay. I think it is okay to, you know, sometimes be vulnerable and, you know, tell people that, you know, choosing certain people that you want to talk to, I'm freaking out or I'm so angry or, you know, just expressing yourself, because that also, you know, just helps you get through it. When we hold it all in and kind of put this mask on, doesn't do us any good and doesn't get us through the whole process.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned something that I got knocked off the show when I was going to address this. I'd like to address this now. You were talking about dealing with your feelings and accepting them And let's see, how did you, I'm trying to see how you, you talked about acknowledging your feelings, but at the same time keeping them in check and, you know, not taking anger out on other people. And one of the things that people often do is take anger out on themselves. So, and sometimes it's not so easy for people to access their feelings. They just shut down because the feelings are overwhelming. A tactic that I know of a therapist who works with people who are dealing with trauma. And let's face it, when you're dealing with something like cancer, it can be very traumatic for the person who suddenly finds themselves in what Kathy mentioned very, very well, the new normal. And not knowing, is this the best I'm ever going to feel again, especially if you have a terminal form of cancer. So one of the tactics that that is used is, especially if either accessing your feelings is virtually impossible or if it's too overwhelming, because sometimes people feel that they'll never be able to get to climb back out of that feeling of despair if they actually access their feelings, that a state of despair that may be unending. So one of the tactics is to, about an hour before bed, an hour and a half before bed, to set a timer for 30 minutes. You don't want to go more than 30 minutes, but just write out everything you're feeling. Not worry about whether you're making full sentences, whether any of it makes any sense, whether it just gets more and more crazy in your own head, whatever. Like a brain dump kind of thing, but an emotional dump. So that so that at least 30 to 60 minutes before you want to actually go to sleep, you're done writing, you've gotten it out, and now you're brushing your teeth, you're doing the last few things that you do to kind of wind down, so that you're not taking those suppressed feelings or those repressed feelings into bed with you at night, and then that's when they start to take over, and real fear and anxiety can take over. So this is another tactic that people can use because, as I mentioned, for some people, accessing feelings when they're overwhelming can be almost impossible. So I'm wondering if anybody has anything to add to that.
Brilliant, brilliant points, Dan, that you brought up. So many of them, I don't even know where to begin. But I think, you know, what you raised for me there was, I love the writing, I love the expressing. But first, what I want to get to is, you know, so when you're given whatever the diagnosis or you're in treatment, whatever the situation is, you know, sometimes repressing is healthy. You know, we have to take it all in before we're ready to share it with other people. So it doesn't mean, you know, okay, so you get this diagnosis and you start going out, you know, just broadcasting all over the world. Of course you don't. You really have to take it all in. And, you know, I think sometimes people might think of it as sweeping things under the rug, but repressing, I think, is sometimes a survival tactic, which is a very good protection mode. So, and what I'm saying there is sometimes we need to stay into that protection mode for a little while just to kind of process what we're going through. And then as we go through all the thoughts and emotions and figure out, you know, what's going on for us, then we might, when we're ready, you know, get to a place where we're able to express that to other people and call up a friend and say, okay, I've just been diagnosed or I'm going through treatment. You know, I just wanted to share that with you. What can you do? You know, can you take me to the store? Can you get me groceries? So I think there's a whole process of getting to that point where you're able to actually finally speak the words out loud because it is, you know, a big trauma to you. And when you start speaking words out loud, it becomes a reality. So I think you have to be ready for that. I had some other thoughts, but I kind of got lost. It was sort of what you were talking about at the end, and I can't remember end of your comments just there. I had something to say about that.
About going to bed with all those feelings.
Oh, yeah. Again, excellent, Jan. So excellent. So for me, you know, maybe 15 years ago or 10 years ago, if I had, you know, got very emotional, I would just blurt it out and just let it all, you know, like blast away. But I think you, and get, you know, very kind of pent up inside and anxious and just feel like you have to blurt it all out. And I think what you said was, you know, a great point. You know, to kind of put it on paper, see what it sounds like, see what it feels like, because sometimes when you do that, you get it out, you know, that, and then you can process and understand it better, as opposed to maybe just, you know, vomiting all that anger out on someone and hurting, you know, potentially hurting someone, or, you know, even getting mad at yourself. So, again, not something that's easily done, a learned process, but to either... you know, meditate or write or, you know, use some vehicle that's good for you to be able to get your emotions out. You know, even something physical. So I think that's great that you mentioned that.
Well, it's also... Yeah, go on,
ahead,
Kathy.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it's also very... for some people, it's virtually impossible for them to even access their feelings because, or what it is that they're even feeling, or whether they're feeling anything because they're so locked up. I mean, it's wonderful if you actually, if you can blurt it out, it's still better than not even, you know, than being totally shut down, numb, basically. And for some people, aside, what they may only feel is shame around a cancer diagnosis because of that old, you know, where you'd whisper the word or you wouldn't say the word or you'd say C, you know, there's still a lot of people that feel shame around a cancer diagnosis. And they may be, in a, you know, just totally shut down. So in order to access feelings in the first place, to even be able to write anything, let's see, I'm good, I'm still here, to be able to even access their feelings, one of the tactics, again, even before you get to the writing, is to try to feel your body and say, what am I feeling right now in my body? And sometimes the people go so into their heads that they can't, it's like their head is disconnected from their body. So the first thing to do is to try to say, what am I feeling in my body and where? Other than, you know, maybe pain from cancer or whatever, but what am I feeling? Am I feeling something in my stomach? Am I feeling something in my chest? And it can be, working with a client, it can be a huge, lengthy process that can take weeks before your client can even access what they're feeling in their body to be able to finally say, okay, now how do I feel when I feel this, to actually access feelings. Because as a coping mechanism, and as you said, to repress, to protect yourself, repression of feelings and literally going numb is not victim mode, but it's a coping and survival mechanism. I wanted to hear, first of all, what Kathy had to say regarding all of this. And then I wanted to ask both of you how you would coach somebody around shame at a via a diagnosis. So I first want to give Kathy the opportunity to comment on what she was going
well,
to say before.
Well, there's been so much. We've already gone 5 miles from that. Yeah, so it is hard to respond to all these wonderful statements that have been made. But so I guess I was really responding back to, like when Gina did with you, when you brought up, you know, fears and you know, we have different personalities deal with things differently. Gina kind of addressed both, and she's kind of experienced both, it sounds like, where, you know, some people do the repressive thing, and that is a survival mechanism. Ideally, it probably is not the best place to stay for a long period of time just for your health, but I can certainly see that, you know, that people do that, and people need to be there for a while to protect themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then, again, as Gina mentioned, some people, the way they process and they help themselves is by telling literally everyone they encounter what they have gone through, because what they do is every time they're talking to somebody, they're kind of processing themselves. And so everybody's aware of what they're going through. And that, again, nobody is right or wrong. It's just how they're dealing with it. But you've got to find what's, you know, if you're staying in the same place and things are never getting better, it may not be serving you the best to stay in that place. I really liked, and I can't remember, I think it was Gina maybe that said speaking words out loud. But I think that I know for us that was very, very difficult in the beginning to actually to say, you know, we said the words to our immediate children and parents because we had to, and you know, told the most in, you know, then we and then our siblings. But other than that, then I think it was Gina that mentioned it was so painful to have to keep saying the same story over and over. That at one point then I was just, I couldn't, more people needed to know. Because I told my husband, I said, I've got to bring more people on board for support. We just can't keep, you know, like going to the doctor in the hospital all the time and nobody knows what's going on. And we're living in this strange little bubble. People need to know, but it was too painful to keep saying. So at one point I finally had to send out an email, and this was to even people super close to me, but, that it was in no way demeaning their relationship or their importance in my life, but I just couldn't say it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's how I had to break the news. And people were so loving and kind, and they were like, you know, they totally got it. They totally understood, because words are so powerful. And to keep saying it and saying it and saying it when you're in that tender place is very tough. So I thought that was...
Yeah, Kathy, that's great. And I think, you know, that's when we talk about coaching, we talk about the level of almost, I guess maybe it's really taking care of yourself, maybe that level four. So if you would have spoke out to more people and kept talking about it, you probably would have depleted yourself. So what you did was you really had the awareness around it and, you know, communicated it a way, you know, that kind of preserved yourself. So, again,
yeah.
Great awareness around. I think that's great. And I think we do, you know, after you speak it out loud, sometimes you do have to revert to that. You know, you speak it out loud and almost like take a little step back because, oh, my God, I just spoke it out loud. Wow. That was really
well, it does now make it really real. Right.
Yeah, now I have to kind of step back a little bit because I really said that, and it kind of scares me. And I think that's normal because then it's just, you know, it's just a process back and forth. And,
right.
You know, tiny baby steps moving forward.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I received one of those emails. I just wanted to say I received one of those emails, and I was so touched by, I mean, I knew your story already, but I was so touched by your generosity in bringing people and your dignity in bringing people in. And the courage that you showed and in a set, you know, your vulnerability, there was so much strength and love in all of that. So I just wanted to bring that up, you know, when I saw that. Thank you.
Yeah, the other thing, people might not be aware, but because we've had some very, very close family members that have really struggled with this. And so just as something that people can also be aware of and pursue if it's of interest to them, the world of homeopathy, if you are unfamiliar with it, is a very valid medical world. It's just different than what many people have been brought up with in the United States, but it's used widely in other parts of the world. And that form of medicine actually has some tools that can help unlock some of these emotions. And during this process, I have used some of it, my husband's used some of it, and some other close family members have. And for the persons that were locked into their emotions where they couldn't even access them, you know, I sent them to the homeopath, and you have a nice long appointment. It's actually very, very nice where you're not rushed through, and they really take their time and listen and observe you, and it's an in-depth consultation. And then they're able to prescribe some things based on the wholeness of you as a person, and it doesn't work the same way as Western medicine, so it can take a bit. But I had actually gone to the homeopath about a week after this person saw them, and she told me that, you know, they may start experiencing this, and I had told them this, that they may start having these feelings that start to come up, and she said that's normal, and that's how they're going to heal, but they were so repressed, and that was really interesting, because the person I had just spoken with the day before and said, I'm starting to get all these feelings of anger and being really aware of them and touched, and that's exactly what the homeopath said would happen, and it needed to come out that way, and I was like, that is so interesting and so helpful, because it's just to make people aware there are some other alternatives that you may not be aware of, you know, out there that you can seek out that may be of help if therapy or whatever else you've been doing hasn't been helping you with that.
That's wonderful to know. Especially I personally was never aware of that homeopathic remedies or treatments could actually make feelings come out. That's very helpful, and that could be extremely helpful with, you know, with trauma work. So
absolutely, and it's really pretty inexpensive too, which makes it, you know, because it's not going to be paid for by insurance, which so much of good quality healthcare isn't. You have to pay for it out of pocket, but it's quite affordable. Remedies are really, really inexpensive, and you know, they do not have any side effects and drawbacks. So it's not like you're going to go and try one more pharmaceutical, which on top of the 10 you're already taking, it could really be traumatic. It doesn't have that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a really nice thing to explore. If you've tried other things and you're open to trying something else that you're not quite familiar with, but you're willing to give it a whirl.
Great, great information. And we're running out of time, and I just wanted to ask you, Kathy, if you could just let our listeners know if they are interested in looking for homeopathy or a practicing homeopath, how would you recommend that they find somebody?
That's always a little bit hard. You go onto a national website, I would suppose. I have been fortunate and I don't live in a metropolitan area, but probably a far outlying, suburb of a metropolitan area. And even so, there were some around me that I was able to become aware of just via, I frequent health food stores. And so I think that's where I had found out, you know, through talking to people about them. So, you know, through health food stores or yoga teachers or acupuncturists, if you're already familiar with any of those, a lot of times they might be aware of somebody. You can go onto a national site and look up somebody. I would definitely find somebody that has gotten all their training and certification, of course. That's important. And then just like anything else, if for some reason, because I've had more than one now, and, you know, just like any other service that you purchase, some people you're going to click with and like better than others. And so if the first person you find doesn't serve you well after you, you know, give them a shot. I always think you need to give people at least 3 or 4 visits, because particularly when something is a brand new modality for you and you're like, I do not know even what's going on here or what to expect, then, you know, give yourself and that person a little bit of time before you make a hasty decision. Because I've had that happen where I've tried something that's just brand new. I'm like, I have never tried any healing modality like this before, but who knows? And then, you know, and so at first it seems very strange, but then you're like, oh, this actually really works. Who knew? I would say that. So, yeah, so those are some ways to try to access somebody.
wonderful, wonderful information. Thank you so much, Kathy and Gina. It's been another wonderful and informative show today, and we're just about out of time. I can't believe it goes so quickly. I would like to thank my very talented and just delightful co-hosts whom I adore, Kathy Aquino and Gina Costa, for their insightful participation in today's show. And I'd just like to remind our listeners of the importance of self-care, priority setting, and asking and reaching out for help when faced with any serious diagnosis for both patient and caregiver. I'm Jan Jaffe of Forward to Success, and it has been my privilege and honor to have been your host today. I would like to offer our listeners a free 30-minute coaching session or strategy session, and for more information, you can email me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at forwardtosuccess.com. And I also want to remind our listeners that you're invited to share any comments or feedback on our website. That's www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. I have my own solo show on the second Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern on this, the Life Coach Radio Network. I would be delighted if you would tune in at noon Eastern on Wednesday, July 1st. And now I would like to ask my co-host to share any closing thoughts and contact information. Gina, would you like to let the audience know how they can contact you?
Yes, closing thoughts. Thank you, ladies, for engaging in this wonderful conversation. It was great. And, every time we do one of these shows, something else opens up for me and I learn something. So I want to thank you for that. And if anyone wants to reach me, again, my website is www.newbeginningswithgina.com. You can email me at gina@newbeginningswithgina.com or give me a call, 917-882-2402. It was a pleasure to be here, ladies. This is my passion, and I love supporting and serving others and working with amazing people like you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Gina. I just always so love working with you. And Kathy, closing thoughts on how people can contact you?
Yeah, thank you. It's been so great. I love working with both you ladies. You bring such clarity and good leadership to our talks, Jan. And Gina brings just such raw emotion and honesty. It's very refreshing to work with both of you, and I really enjoy it. I can be reached at my website, www.cour2toLead.com. And to our listeners, as we said before, I just wish you that you can hang on to the hope, as if this is your journey, your personal journey, or you're riding along a very close loved one that is. And there is hope out there, as our other coaches spoke about. Reach out for help. There is a lot of help, and people want to help you and be by your side and walk along this journey with you. And I wish our listeners much peace, health, and happiness. Thanks very much, ladies.
Thank you, Kathy. And again, I so love working with you and Gina. It's just such a joy to work with the both of you. I wanted to just let everyone know that in case they weren't able to write down our phone numbers or our contact information, when you click on the link to the show, there is a written introduction and all of the contact information is there in our bios. So please do feel free to contact us, any or all of us. We would really enjoy hearing from you, and we would be delighted to be in touch with you. So I'm just going to take a moment to announce a few of our upcoming shows. On this, the Life Coach Radio Network, on June 20th at 7:30 a.m., Misha Avery talks being emotionally and mentally fit. And that ties in a little bit with our conversation today. On June 21st at 9 p.m., we have Mark My Words with certified life and business coach, the wonderful and beloved Mark Shaw. And on June 25th at 8 p.m., What Are You Willing to Do in Order to Be What You Want to Be with Deborah Mathis. And July 22nd at 12 noon, we have the continuation of our series today, The Journey of Cancer, Part 4, How to Thrive When Faced with a Cancer Diagnosis. And that will be me, Kathy Aquino, and Gina Costa again with Part 4 of this series. So it's July 22nd at 12 noon on the Life Coach Radio Network. Now, on the Life Coach Chat channel, one of our sister channels, June 19th at 12 noon, Business Lunch with Michael O'Brien, Why Did I Do That? Neuroscience and Self-Awareness. At June 25th at 1 p.m., Reclaim Your Health. At June 26th at 11 a.m., Reclaiming Space. And July 7th at 7 p.m., Transforming Your Life with Coach Tamara, coaching and website design. That could be very helpful to a lot of people. And on our other sister network, the International Life Coach Radio, June 25th at 7 p.m., The Power of Presence, Taking Time to Enjoy the Journey. I want to take this opportunity to again thank my two wonderful co-hosts, Gina Costa and Kathy Aquino, and our listening audience for joining me today and making this show a very special one. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.